Happy Monday to you and welcome back to the Drivecast. My name is Dean. I'm the lead pastor here at LifePoint. I do the majority of teaching at our Lewis Center campus. And as always, I'm super grateful for you taking these opportunities to join us as we kind of recap, think about the messages and ways that they practically work in our lives. So as we continued in our series through the Song of Solomon, this idea that human love is an imperfect reflection of God's greater love for us, this past week is what I have affectionately referred to over the last month as honeymoon week. Solomon describes in vivid poetic detail the honeymoon between he and the Shulamite woman. And he starts with all of this poetic language in chapter 4. He tells her that she's beautiful behind her veil, that her hair is like a flock of goats, that her teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes, that her lips like a scarlet thread, cheeks like pomegranates, and that her neck is a strong tower. Now, I don't know if you put all those images together, whether that's going to be, you know, something maybe that we think is attractive. I'm telling you, in their language, it was sheer beauty to them. And I think one of the things that we learn from this text is that she feels safe with him, that he is communicating verbally to her. And from that, one of the things I gather is I think just sexuality is more spiritual than it is physical or emotional. The Hebrews saw it so differently than we tend to see. We tend to see it as, what can I get from someone else? They got married under the huppah, four poles attached to a prayer shawl. And once they were done with the wedding ceremony, I mean, they walked them straight to the bridal chamber. The guests started the marriage feast, but they consummated the marriage immediately afterwards. So it was spiritual. And then it was physical. And so I think we tend to look at the scriptures sometimes, or people who lived in it, and we think, man, they are so antiquated, right? And actually, in a lot of ways, I think they were way more progressive than we were. And throughout this chapter, he just continues with poetic language until he gets down to the end, and he starts talking about how their marital relationship was going to be like a garden, that marital intimacy, it grows like a garden, which I think points us back to the big picture narrative of the Bible. The Bible is full of wonderful true stories: David and Goliath, Moses, the Exodus, Esther and the exile. But it's also important to remember that the Bible is one big story from Genesis to Revelation of God bringing his people back to themselves. And so in this case, I think the garden picture takes us all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where God essentially says to Adam and Eve, hey, what I want you to do is I want you to make the rest of earth, it's untamed and wild, like this garden. I want you to cultivate the world. I want you to fill the earth, have dominion over it. The only thing was, pre-sin, in that context, everything was going to work with Adam and Eve. It was perfect. And I think one of the things that sexuality does in our world is that it exposes the tension between the ideal and the real. And Solomon and the Shulamite woman, they give us the ideal. And then I think that we deal with the real life, the real world, where, you know, there's a human tendency to use sexuality as currency in a relationship to get what we want, when we want, how we want. And because of that, there's a lack of real intimacy. And when there's a lack of real personal communication, there's a lack of knowing someone else and being fully known at a spiritual level. We look for substitutes. Pornography can become a substitute for intimacy. Another person can become a substitute for real intimacy. And this is really where people begin to make some of their most regrettable decisions. As human beings, we're not sanctified at the same pace. Two people in marriage are not sanctified at the same pace. So often it creates this comparative environment where then people start to fake it, right? And when that happens, this weird distance can just, it can just creep up out of nowhere. None of us has a perfect marriage. None of us has a perfect relationship with God. But in marriage, you can stop communicating for what feels like a second. And then years can pass and relational distance can grow. And it can feel like exile. So it brings us back to the original marriage in the garden. You know, the scriptures say that Adam knew his wife and that she gave birth to a child. And that word for knew, off the verb to know, is the intimate word for knowledge. It's not just to know facts or information. And I think this brings us back to true north when it comes to sexuality. In the New Testament, Jesus says in John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they know you, not just knowing facts about God, but it's to be fully accepted, fully known by God. That is eternal life. That can start here and now. So it's important for us to think, man, this gift that God has given us in sexuality is wonderful. It's a great gift. It's joyful and delightful. It should be all of those things. And it's a gift, not a God. That this whole thing started in the middle of Eden, where there was a tree. And Adam and Eve ruined our relationship with God from the get-go with that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when you look at heaven described to us in Revelation, there's another tree. There's the tree of life there. So in between the tree where Adam and Eve wrecked everything and the tree that will someday be eternally standing in the middle of heaven, there's another tree. A tree that was once cut down and curated to be turned into a cross that stood outside the city of Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified for our sins, failures, and flaws. And how we deal with that tree will ultimately determine the rest of our life, which includes how we see things like sexuality. So today, I want us to be reminded of the tree, that we've given our lives to the man who gave himself to us on that tree. I'm going to pray that. And then I'll give you the opportunity to pray. Father, we come to you today with a sense of gratitude. Your brokenness, your body suffering for us on the cross, giving your life for ours. You're the only substitute, God, that can change us, that can bring us joy and delight and pleasure ultimately. And Lord, our love for one another between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, is really just a reflection of that. So today, God, we're drawn back to that love. I pray, God, we will live from it today. And because of that, if we're single, Lord, we are prayerful maybe towards the person that we will marry someday. If marriage is in the cards for someone, if they're single, Lord, for those of us who are married, Lord, I pray that it'll help us become more reflective, more communicative, more giving, more serving, more loving, more caring today as a reflection of your love for us. Now you take the opportunity to pray.